Good evening, everyone. Very excited to learn with you. Le'ilu Nishmat Moshe ben Aaron. Okay, his mother.
Isha,
okay. And Refuah Shlema for Shneur Zalman ben Sarah Leah.
Hepsiba.
And Shalom ben
Baruch.
They should have Refuah Shlema, Refuah Tanefesh, Refuah Taguf. Please make your brachot and have those names in mind. Parashat Chaye Sarah, the life of Sarah. So we know this is parasha, right? The most there's so many topics to talk about. Where do you even choose a topic? How do you choose a topic to talk about and to learn about and to grow from? It's so difficult, right? Many are going to be speaking about shiduchim and how to find a wife and the story of Eliezer and Rivka and Yitzchak and that whole deal. Let's take a different angle this week. And think and speak about Yitzchak. Yitzchak, the pasuk says, "Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach v'sadeh." Yitzchak went out to converse in the field. And Chazal teach us that we learn from here. Yeah.
I just want to add one name. It's Alia Bat Tova.
For what? Okay. Let me know. Yeah. Let me know. No problem. Let me know. Okay. So the Gemara learns out that from here, from this pasuk, that from here we learn that Yitzchak Avinu was metaken tefilat mincha. We know that the three tefilot shachit mincha nalvit, right, were metukanim through the avot. Avram Avinu was metaken shachrit, as it says. What? How do we know? Ashkem Avram baboker. Yitzchak, from this week's parasha, it says what? Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach v'sadeh. Lasuach literally means to converse, to have a conversation. So from there we see what? That he was metaken tefilat mincha. It was in midday, in the middle of the day. Mincha happens to be on the shorter side, right? It's arguably the shortest tefillah, right next to arvit. It's very, very short. It's very quick, under 10 minutes. Okay, especially if you have a Chatzi Kedusha as well, right? As you nodding your head, no, okay, no, we don't do such things, okay, good. But it's on the shorter side, regardless, right, whether there's a Chazara or there's no Chazara. Nevertheless, we find that it's such a special tefillah. Yitzchak Avinu was metaken tefillat mincha. Eliyahu Navi was only answered during the tefillah of mincha. What's so special about tefillat mincha? Why is it so special, right? The Gemara also tells us that tefillah mincha is et ratzon, more so than the other tefillot. It's a very opportune time. It's very opportunistic for your tefillot to get answered. Et ratzon. What's so special about tefillah mincha? Says the holy Baal Shem Tov, Zechuto Yagen Aleinu, that when a Jew finds himself in the middle of his workday, whether that means work as in business, whether that means work as in schoolwork, classes, studying, midterms, to each his own, whatever that means to you. Whenever a Jew finds himself worrying about his parnassah and so busy in the hustle-bustle of this world, and then stops midday and remembers, hey, I gotta pray mincha. Not only is it so special that stam, he's in the middle of doing so many things and he stopped to remember to pray mincha, that alone is a very respectful thing to do. It's more than that. It's deeper than that. Says the Baal Shem Tov, he remembers that there is a God in the world, and he understands that everything comes from him. And he stops what he's doing in order to go and pray to him. Wow. It's a very special thing. You're busy using your hands, using your mind, using your body, using your computer, using your own personal actions to try to advance, to try to progress, to try to make more money, to try to grow, to try to promote, and then you stop. And you tell yourself, hey, there's a God in the world. All of this is not coming from me, not coming from my own hands. It's not coming as a result of my actions. It's coming as a result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when a person stops midday and he reminds himself of that, that's special. Because in the morning when you wake up, it's before work. In the evening, when you go pray Arvit, it's after work. Okay, yeah, in the winter time, Arvit's very early. But it's after work. It's in the evening. It's at the end of the day. Mincha, smack in the middle of the day. Tfilat Mincha et Ratzon, because it's so much more significant than just a prayer, just an Amidah, just a Shmona Esrei. It's much more than that. It's the context that makes it so special, that makes it an et Ratzon. Tfilat Mincha. The Pasuk says in Tehilim, Sayyidin Halil, Atzabehem Kesef Vezahav Ma'ase Yedei Adam. Atzabehem, their gods. Kesef Vezahav, our Kesef Vezahav are gold and silver. Ma'ase Yedei Adam, they are the result of man. Okay, they're created by humans. Meaning what? To underplay the gods. Avodah Zarah, idols, what? It was created by human beings, by their own hands. It's nothing. It's meaningless. There's a deeper meaning to this pasuk. Atzavehim, kesef ezahav. Nowadays, we don't really have avodah zarah, significant avodah zarah. Yeah, you go to a place like India, you'll find some idols over there. But most of the world is not bowing down to actual idols these days. In fact, the yetzer hara for avodah zarah, the temptations that people once had to bow down to idols don't really exist anymore. They're significantly weaker than they used to be. However, there's still a mitzvah, there's still an inyan to stay away from Avodah Zarah. What's today's Avodah Zarah? The Pasuk says, Atzabehem, their gods, their idols, Kesef Vezahav, gold and silver, money. Money is a form of Avodah Zarah. Why is money a form of Avodah Zarah? Because nowadays people worship money like idols. Nowadays we rave so much about this guy who's worth millions, about that this stock that's worth millions, about this job that we're gonna land and what degree is gonna get us this job and resume, and basically what Avodah Zarah is a foreign god, meaning what? A foreign power, meaning what? Thinking and believing Chas v'Shalom that there are other powers other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when a person is solely thinking about money, he is Chas v'Shalom giving some sort of power, some sort of authority to Benjamin Franklin's. What greater Avodah Zarah is than that? Atzabehem Kesef Ezahav. Their gods are Kesef Ezahav. Tfilat Mincha reminds a person, no. I don't believe in Kesef Ezahav. I don't believe in gold and silver. I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the one who's getting me that gold and silver. Pasuk says, Vayetze Yitzhak Lasuach Basadeh, the field. What's the field? That means the workplace. Right? They didn't have offices back in the day. They didn't have firms. They had fields. That was the work. That's what you did. That's where you went to work. Vayetze Yitzhak Lasuach Basadeh means he stopped midday in the middle of work to understand and to acknowledge. En od milvado. Hakol bidei shamayim. I'm just working because I have to work, but everything comes from Hashem. We're so busy in our daily grind, right? We find ourselves mid-semester, we're working hard, we're toiling, we're hustling, we're bustling, we're putting in a crazy amount of time studying, writing, learning, listening. On one hand, yeah, it's beautiful. You know, it's beautiful that many of us, we stop midday, you know, you go on the app, you find yourself a mincha. We're spoiled nowadays. So many minyanim going on. So many minyanim. Although I know Ariel wouldn't go to all of those minyanim, there are some he would disapprove of, but there's so many minyanim. It's a beautiful thing. However, when a person attends the minyan and then zips through the minyan, he runs through it, mumbling the words, skipping some words, cutting some corners from the beginning of the minyan, cutting some corners at the end of the minyan. What's left if you cut every single corner and you keep on cutting more and more corners? What's left of the minyan? Nothing. And you're doing all that for what? To run back to your work. That's when a person is forgetting about the ikar, forgetting about the main thing, forgetting about the source of where everything is coming from. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the source. I found myself in a minyan this week. I don't want to, you're laughing. I don't want to say anything about any, you know, but just to learn a lesson. I found myself at a minyan, And Baruch Hashem, it's a very well-attended minyan. And I was very proud of many of the guys that came. Baruch Hashem, they're going to minyan. It's very special. Very special. Going to minyan in the morning, okay, before shiur, before seder. It's a very special thing. But I caught myself in the middle of Chazar Tashatz. I don't know why. Kadosh Baruch Hu just pointed my eyes in the direction of everyone who was there. And I was shocked to see what I saw. I saw about 15-20% of the people still trying to catch up. Maybe 30% of the people still trying to catch up. Another 30-35% of the people, they're still in the middle of the Amidah. They're not even up to Chazar Tashatz yet. Another 15-20% of people just got there. They're putting on their tefillin. Another 10%-15%, they're done already. They're taking off their tefillin. Yeah, there was a minyan of men that were actually at the proper place with the chazan, Chazar Tashatz. I thought to myself, what are we doing over here? What are we doing? No one is doing the same thing at this minyan. It's a very sad thing. Heartbreaking to watch it. We're all struggling, pushing ourselves out of bed to go to minyan, and this is how it's done? You know what that tells me? It tells me that your mind is in other places when your body is in the Bet Knesset. Yitzchak Avinu was referred to, Rashi calls him an Ola Temima. He's a complete Ola. What's an Ola? It's a Korban Ola. What's a Korban Ola? It's the only Korban that is completely burnt. Right? No part of it is given to the Kohanim. And the Kohanim get to have a lot of steak and meat, lamb, right? In the Bet HaMikdash, Kohanim have it good. Right? The Korban Ola was an exception. Everything was burnt. Meaning what? It was completely for Hashem. There were no parts of it that were given to others. Yitzchak Avinu was considered an Ola Temima. First of all, he never left Eretz Yisrael. He never left, unlike his father, unlike his son. He was completely kadosh. He was completely offered to Hashem. Every part of him was devoted to Hashem. There was no, my body is in Bet Knesset, but my mind is at work. My body is in the Bet Midrash, learning with my chavruta, but my mind is thinking about my assignments later on today. It didn't work like that. But Tzadok HaKohen says, Tzadok HaKohen from Lublin tells us, Shabbat is Mekor HaBracha. Shabbat's the source of all blessing. Why is it a source of all blessing? If anything, you would say the source of all blessing should be a work day, a weekday, a day that you're actually putting in work. That should be the source of blessing. Dafka, the day that you're not working? Yeah, he says, yeah, exactly. To show you, to bring out that point. Everything comes from Hashem. It's nothing to do with your actions. During the week we work, but we're confused, and we think to ourselves that everything comes from our hands, our own hands. There are a bunch of Jews in the world that go to work every day, but they're not going to work every day. They're going to Avodat Hashem every day. They're going to do godly work. Not business work. There's a former student of mine, alumni, we had dinner last week, and he told me he got hired in this new firm. This firm is run by Jews. Most of the employees there, I think all the employees are Jewish, but the CEO of the firm, very, very chashuv person, he built in the building, on the ground floor, a Bet Midrash and a Bet Knesset. Okay? On the second floor is an entire kitchen, a fridge that's stocked with only kosher food, kosher appliances. Throughout the day, there are minyanim. Throughout the day, there are shiurim. He hired a rabbi to be there to give daf yomi shiur for all the employees on their breaks. So when he's going to work, this guy, when he's going to work, he's not going to work, he's going to yeshiva. He's going to yeshiva. Amazing thing. The Mishnah tells us, Aseh Toratcha Keva. A person must make his Torah Keva. Meaning, make the Torah the main part of your day. Now, the question is, what exactly does that mean? To make Torah the main part of your day. Can everyone just devote many hours to learn every single day? Listen, many of us have to actually go and work. Many of you are in school taking classes. Not capable of investing 10-12 hours of learning a day. What does that mean? Nevertheless, the Mishnah tells us, Aseh Torat Chakeva. The answer is, that what it means is that everything should revolve around Torah. It should be on your mind the entire day. While you're working, you should be thinking about minyan. You should be thinking about your learning. It shouldn't be that while you're in minyan, you're thinking about your job. You wake up in the morning, devote some time before work to learn, before classes to learn. You come back from work, you're done with classes, devote some time to learn. Don't miss a minyan. Your tefillah should not revolve around your work or your classes. Your classes should revolve around your tefillah. I remember when I was in the Mir Yeshiva, they had a Milava Malka for the American Bachurim, American students. There's a whole entire Bet Midrash called Beis Yeshaya in the Mir, devoted only for the Americans. They did a very good job at allowing the Americans to feel welcomed. And they started this when I was there. I'm not sure if it's still happening. In Milava Malka every Motzei Shabbat, like once every 3 weeks, in Milava Malka, dafka for the American students, to give them nice fancy food, you know, because Americans, we need that. Israelis don't need that. We needed that. They gave us nice, you know, fancy, delicious buffet, only for the Americans. And one of the Magide Shiur got up and gave a shiur. And he knows very well that most of the Bachurim, American Bachurim, are going to go back to America. And what are they going to do in America after 3, 4, 5 years of learning? They might go to college. They might just go and get a job right away. But they're all going to go back to work. Most of them are going to go back to work. A few of them are actually going to stay and learn for even longer than that. And he gave a very strong shiur about working. What it means to work. What it means to be a working guy. A growth-oriented, religious working guy. It was wild what he said. But he said, you know what? Your work starts at 9 o'clock. Got to be at the office at 9 o'clock. What time are you getting up?
Was this recorded this year?
I'm not sure. You're getting up at 7, making a minyan at 7:30 until 8:15, hopping on the train, making it there at 9 o'clock. That's your morning? No. That's not the morning of a Ben Torah. You wake up at 5. You learn for 2 hours. And then you pray at 7, 7:30. And then you hop on the train. And then you go to work. You're back at 6, 6:30. You come home. Have dinner with your family. Put your kids to bed. 8, 8:30, you go to the Bet Midrash. You spend 2 hours, 2.5 hours of learning. Your day is surrounded with Torah. That's what it means. Aseh Torah Tchakeva. Your day should revolve around Torah. It's not about numbers. It's not that you should be learning 18 hours a day. It's that everything should revolve around your Torah learning. Avraham Avinu symbolized this. He was a very wealthy man, Avraham Avinu. But there was not a second in his life that went by that he wasn't thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he wasn't thinking about Torah, he wasn't thinking about mitzvot. He lived in this world in a way where he didn't really belong in this world. He considered the money secondary to Torah and mitzvot. That's why when it says in this parasha in the beginning, it says, Avraham Avinu went to Ephron to buy Ma'arat HaMachpelah, to buy the burial plot for his wife Sarah. What does it say? Ger v'toshav anochi imachem. What does it mean, ger v'toshav? What does it mean, a ger? Don't say convert. What does it mean?
Stranger.
Stranger. Okay? A foreigner. What's a toshav?
Citizen.
Citizen. Foreigner? Citizen. Opposites. What do you mean? Are you a foreigner? Are you a citizen? What does that mean? Explains the Tolad Yaakov Yosef, something unbelievable. Says, let's ask another question. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham in the Brit Ben Abtarim, he says, Ki ger yeh zaracha ve'eretz lo lahem. Avraham, I'm going to promise you children, you're going to have children, you're going to become a great nation, but let me tell you what's going to happen afterwards. Your nation is going to be, they're going to be gerim, they're going to be strangers, foreigners, in a place that doesn't belong to them. They're going to go through a lot of hardships. That was the promise. That was the guarantee, the reward that Hashem was giving Avraham. What kind of reward is that? Explains the Tolad Yaakov Yosef. No, what that means is that your children, whatever land they go to, they're going to feel like foreigners because they're going to understand that being in this world is not a permanent thing. It's a temporary thing. money is not permanent, it's temporary. It's a means to acquire something permanent for yourself. And what that is, it was Olam Abba, it's the next world. Torah and mitzvot, permanent, they're mainstays in our life. They don't go away. Money comes and goes. You guys see that very, very well. Money comes and goes. Torah and mitzvot, they don't come and go, they stay with you. Says, told Yaakov Yosef, Ger v'toshav anochi machem. Avraham Avinu was basically saying like this, in this world I'm a ger, I'm a stranger, I'm a foreigner in this world. Yes, I have all that money. Yes, I'm living a very comfortable life. But I'm a foreigner. I'm a stranger. I don't belong here. And when a person lives a life of a ger on this world, he's going to end up being a toshav in the next world. He's going to end up being someone who is going to have a very stable home in the next world. He's building his house in the next world, brick by brick by brick, a mansion that can never get destroyed. He'll be living a very comfortable home. What investments he's making in this world when he understands that this world is only temporary, the money is only temporary. Someone once came to the Chavetz Chaim, a very rich peddler, to get a bracha from the Chavetz Chaim. And the Chavetz Chaim opened up his home, his door, and he welcomed in this peddler. And he looked into the Chavetz Chaim's home and he said, Rebbe, where's your furniture? Chavetz Chaim said to him, where's your furniture? All I see is a wagon. Where's your furniture? And the person said, what kind of question is that? My furniture is all back home. I'm traveling right now. I don't have furniture when I'm traveling. So Chavetz Chaim said to him, well, I'm also traveling. I'm also not home right now. So what do I need to invest so much into my travels? It's all temporary. Zat Hashem, one day when I get home, I'm going to have my nice big home. Comfortable bed, nice sofa couch. I'm going to have everything I need over there. But right now I'm traveling. That's all I'm doing over here. It's so important to understand. I say Torah Tcha Keva. The only thing that should be Keva, that should be stable, that should be something that's not movable in this world, is Torah. Your Torah should be Keva. That's why it says, after 120 years, you go up to Shamayim, they're going to ask you some questions, some interrogation. What are they going to ask you? Kavata itim la Torah. Did you devote time to learn? What does it mean, kavata itim la Torah? It means, was your learning in a way of keva? That means when you were learning, did your entire day revolve around your learning? Was that the main part of your day? Or did your learning revolve around the rest of your day? And it's not a numbers game, like we said. It's not about how much time you learn. But where is your mind the entire day? Where is your mind? Tomorrow there's this Mishnayomi, a new cycle of Mishnayomi starting. I think it's tomorrow, correct? Yeah? Who learns Mishnayomi every day? No one. Good. So everyone in this room is going to start learning Mishnayomi tomorrow. Excellent. Beautiful. What's Mishnayomi? It's like Dafyomi. You learn one daf every day of Gemara, but this is much easier. It's two Mishnayot every single day.
Some Mishnayot are pretty hard.
Okay. So you listen to a shiur, it's pretty simple. You get an art school Mishnah, it's very, very simple. Two Mishnayot a day, it's very, very, very simple. Very simple, very easy. 5 minutes a day, you learn two Mishnayot. It takes you a very, very long way. Very long way. And it's so easy. You pop in your AirPods. Every single one of you guys have AirPods. You pop it in. You're walking from class to class. In between classes, boom, you just got a Mishnah. You're in the elevator. Anyways, you're not schmoozing with every single person in the elevator. I think you should. I think everyone should say hello to other people in the elevator. But if you're not, at least make use of your time. 15, 20 seconds here. Another 30 seconds there. Another 1 minute there. You know how much you could accomplish? How much you could accomplish? There's always time to do more and do more and do more. Someone once gave him a shal, and I'll end with this. He had an audience, and I hope I'm saying this right. And he had a huge can, like a garbage can, and that was clear, that they were able to see through it. And he said to the audience, is there any room for anything here? And they said, yeah, 100%. He took a bunch of big rocks, and he filled up that garbage can. And he said to them, now is there any more room? They said, no, not really. He said, okay. And then he took some small rocks and he spilled it inside the garbage can, and everything fit inside because it went in between the cracks of the big rocks. And he said, you see, there was more room. How about now? Is there more room for anything else? And he said, no, now there's no more room. And then he took sand. And he spilled sand inside of the garbage can. He said, you see, there really was more room. How about now? Is there more room now? He said, no, now there's no more room. And then he took water. And he poured water inside the garbage can. He said, you see, you guys think you have no time in your day. There's so much time in your day. So much time in your day. Yeah, it may not be big chunks of time, 3-4 hours at a time. But you have 10 minutes here, half hour there, 45 minutes there. What are you doing with that time? Make use of that time. That's what it means. Aseh Torah Tchakev. When your mind is thinking about Torah, mitzvot, the entire day, so every available second that you have, you're going to boom, just press play on your phone. It's there anyways. Just press play, 15 seconds for as long as you have. Oh, you got to go back to your work. Pause. Play, pause, play, pause, play, pause. That's what it means. Aseh Torah Tchakev. So B'zat Hashem, Shal takes to heart, and we should live lives of Aseh Torah Tchakev. Tefillat Mincha. Should be mechazek ourselves that, first of all, make it a point that we should always pray Tefillat Mincha. Always, always, always. Shachrit is easy, Arit is easy. Mincha is a little more difficult. Always pray Mincha. Number one, because you should pray 3 times a day. Number two, because what the Baal Shem Tov says, it, you're making a statement. You're saying, Hashem, throughout my entire day, even though I'm so busy, I'm not forgetting about you. That's Tefillat Mincha. But more than that, the time that we're setting aside to pray, let's make it quality time. Say every word, not to zip through it. Not that we should be thinking about our jobs while praying Mincha. We should be thinking about Mincha while working at our jobs. Have an amazing night, everyone.